Welcome back to Real Deal Media's podcast channel for Sunday Brunch with me, Dean Ryan, and our favorite brunchette, I guess that would be the proper term, brunchette, Detective Cagney. Hello, Detective.
Hey, Dean, what's happening?
Oh, no, not much. Just here building a sandcastle with you. Here at the beach.
Yeah, well, okay. And I'm enjoying a frutch, which is a wine spritzer, and a goyache soup.
Oh, wonderful. I am having, for Sunday brunch, I am having a breakfast mix. Yeah. Cinnamon yogurt-covered raisins with oatmeal cookies, walnuts, and banana chips. There you go.
Wow, that sounds awfully good. Wait, do you want to trade?
Yeah. Well, I love trail mix. You know why? Because it breaks all the rules, doesn't it?
Well, it's supposed to be healthy, but I'm not so sure it is. But okay, tastes good.
Well, it tastes good. I mean, you can make it healthy. Now, it gets a little out of hand when you start seeing, like, peanuts.
M&M's in there.
Seeds. M&M's, and then, you know, cookie dough. It's just gets crazy, but. So, yeah, but I love Sunday. Sundays are my favorite day, Sunday brunch. This is, what is this, our third time doing this?
Yeah, third or fourth.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, though.
Mystery one, though. What's that?
Do you have any of that special ice cream that you were telling me about the other day? Oh, okay.
No.
We should do a little discussion about that ice cream. It sounds so freaking awesome.
Okay. Well, here's why I don't have it. They're out of it.
Oh, well, because it's too good.
They're out of it. It was brookie dough and I don't know. What did you say your favorite was?
I like Chunky Monkey.
Chunky Monkey.
Ben and Jerry's.
What is Chunky Monkey? What's Chunky Monkey for my memory here?
Well, it's got chunks of like brownie in there and some marshmallows and there's some I believe pretzels in there. It's just a bunch of stuff, which sounds quite similar to the one that you're talking about that you get from 7-Eleven, which sounds awesome. Unfortunately, I have no 7-Eleven here, so I can't try it at this point.
In Papua New Guinea, where you are, they don't have that, do they?
No 7-Elevens here. They had them all over Korea, but not here. I mean, 7-Eleven in Korea is like, going to a big date with somebody if you go to that 7-Eleven. There's none here in Europe, no 7-Elevens.
Oh, my God. So if a little Korean man took Miss Cagney out on a date and he took you to 7-Eleven, would you just be floored?
I would be so honored, you know, that or their very high-end McDonald's, you know, big date nights.
Okay, guys,
but, you know,
if you're listening
Hungary,
right now, if you're listening right now, guys, take notes now.
Well, in Hungary, the big date place is, believe it or not, the food court at IKEA. Are you kidding me? Really? If some guy told me he was going to take me for meatballs at IKEA, I'd be like, no, that's okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay, now let me just interject here. I know this sounds weird, and listeners around the world right now, if you don't know what IKEA is, how would you explain what IKEA is?
Furniture and miscellaneous stuff that's really a pain in the ass to put together.
Okay, furniture, let me translate that. And I'm looking outside my window to see if I'm being held hostage inside my condo right now by the Golden Girls. And yes, I am. Because I want to go to the balcony, damn it. But they're having like a Bloody Mary party outside.
Oh, well, that's it. You're screwed for a couple hours.
Oh, at least. Until the sun goes down. These people. Okay. What were we saying here? Let's backtrack.
What is IKEA?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'll clean this up in post. I swear. I'm just so upset. You know, because it's a sunny day and there's not a damn cloud outside. And the last thing you want to do is be inside. Anyways, okay, so IKEA. For those of you around the world that may not have an IKEA, and I, you know,
wait, who doesn't have IKEA? Who?
Well, maybe the Aussies don't have IKEA.
Oh, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe Ecuador doesn't have IKEA, or Uruguay. See? I always have them on my mind.
Well, that's true. Nice of you to think of everyone.
Well, someone has to think of the countries you're not thinking about. Anyways, IKEA, now it's furniture, and Lynn was very nice. Detective Cagney was very nice by saying in miscellaneous. Let's call it what it is. Complete and utter junk made out of plywood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? No, it's not even plywood. It's pressed cardboard. It's not plywood.
Okay, well, it's even worse. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Press car, and they upmarket, you know, so it's like
it's very expensive.
Like $2, you're paying what, quadruple that.
Well, let me tell you this, that if you wanted to replace your kitchen here in Europe with a kitchen from IKEA, your cost would be around $5,000 for cardboard cabinets.
$5,000?
Yes. And you have to put it together yourself and hope to Christ it fits. Oh. And then, of course, you only do it with that one tiny little Allen wrench that they give you. And if you lose that Allen wrench, you are screwed.
I forgot about the Allen wrench.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's the worst.
Now the thing about it, I want a tool named after me, too. Allen got one. I want to get one, too. I don't know if that's been your... Yeah, it is. And they're like huge. And like people go to them and they'll be there for like hours.
Now, well, they have to have arrows on the floor to show you how to get through the goddamn place.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And then, you know, what's funny about that. They'll have the random IKEA worker who's like standing at an intersection and you don't even see him. He blends with the wall. And then they'll approach you like, "Hi, sir. Have you been helped?" I'm like, "Whoa, where'd you come from? Whoa, you got to warn me."
Well, let me warn you, don't ever go the opposite way with the arrows, because the staff gets extremely ticked off if you do that.
Yeah, it's very strict. Now, you get to a certain point because you're like, oh, wow, I'm in IKEA world. Wow. And then you get so immersed in it, you forget how to get out. You forgot where you park. You don't know where you got in. It's like a whole underground city. But then you get to a point where you get to the cafeteria, the chow hall, the food court, right? And you would think for like IKEA, like the way it used to be, there used to be a place called Fedco when I was growing up, Kmart. And, you know, there'd be like a little concession stand for popcorn and ices and a little hot dog, whatever. No, the IKEA one, it's like a Vegas hotel food court where there's like gourmet chefs, Wolfgang Puck's chow mein hall. You know, it's like
Scandinavian buffet.
Yeah. World renowned chef of the Far East, Chef Chen. Chen can cook.
It is terrible. It is terrible. And you know, they actually figured out that when people were bragging about how wonderful the Swedish meatballs were, and I've worked in Sweden, and the Swedish meatballs in Sweden, yes, they are really awesome. Okay, but at IKEA, not so much. But they're horse meat, and then they had to pull them from the market and redo them where they weren't using horse meat. Ew,
that was a scandal. Yeah, horse meat.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Which is
my friend Flicka is a meatball. No, it doesn't sound so good.
No. I've never thought about eating horse before. I mean, that seems... But then, like, people eat zebras. That's like a delicacy, wild game. You know, those hunters and stuff.
Yeah, but, not me.
Yeah, anyways, yeah. Well, except for us, yeah. Yeah, that it's horse meat. Now, this is interesting to switch gears before I get back to, because what I want to do is I want you to think about this now. I want to time travel. Okay. I'll go first, or maybe you'll go first. And we're going to go to a certain year, and you're going to take me to a certain year.
Oh, dear.
And I'm going to spend the day with Detective Cagney, and we're going to get in our DeLorean, and we're going to go into like a 1970 whatever. And we're going to just go spend the whole day together, and she's going to take me, and it's the same setting. Maybe we'll go to her friend Ramona's house. Maybe we'll go down the road to the Windmill liquor store. And I will do the same, and I'll pick a year too. So we're going to get to that. That's going to be our Sunday brunch time traveling excursion with Dean Ryan and Detective Cagney. How about that? See, okay. I time travel all the time. See?
All right. Well, you already know what my year is. So
I have an idea. I have an idea.
Oh, do
but you?
You
don't know what my year is.
Well, I know the range of years you can only be in.
Well, hold on. You don't necessarily have to be within your quote range. I might take you to the medieval times. See?
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
That's the way the game's played. Got it.
Yeah. Don't be so presumptuous, as they say.
Well, I'm trying to be realistic. I'm not trying to make things up. I'm trying to tell the truth here.
Well,
as always.
Well, Lynn, I have studied many, many different decades and centuries as a theologian. I'll have you know.
Oh, okay.
I resent your pedestrian remark there. All right. Here we go. So here's what I was saying before we get to that. The food demic. Now, get this. This is wild. Speaking of like all this weird tainted meat, I got wind. There's somebody that told me that all these food factories that are being bombed, or fire, I should say. I shouldn't be presumptuous. Yeah. I don't want to be presumptuous. Yeah. That's your job. And somebody said that they're being blown up on purpose because these are the tainted meat companies and factories and have, like, for instance, you know, for many, many years, we've heard McDonald's is using human meat in their burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm not going to agree with that because some of the top brands that are on fire right now don't even have meat. They're just food facilities where the food passes through and then they're shipped out. So if it were just meat, okay, then I'd have to dig a little deeper. But, you know, there's like, I don't know, shipping areas where they ship all the foods. Let's say I'm going to use this. This is not true. Okay, but I'm going to use Costco. So they have a main storage facility, let's say in the middle of Oklahoma, and they have all their food stored there, and it gets shipped out and distributed throughout the United States from that point. That's the type of facility. So it carries everything from bread to donuts to whatever that are on fire, besides the fact that there are some basic meat factories that are also on fire.
Notice how the spam factory is totally unscathed.
Well, yeah, of course. That's because they supply most of Korea.
Oh, my God.
I love spam.
I do, too, because there's something about spam, not that I like go out of my way to get it, but there's something very nostalgic in World War II about it. It's like you're eating history.
It's awesome, especially in soup. Really good.
Oh, my God. Spam sushi. That was interesting. And then, you know, there's a lot of talk about, there's like this Telegram page, I haven't even told you about it, where they're saying all these people who have died in the past 5 years, like all the superstars or whatever, mm-hmm. They're all part of the plan, you know, and have been working with like the White Hats and go into the Witness Protection Program. And I guess there was somebody who was singing at the Super Bowl or whatever. A black lady, and they're saying it was Whitney Houston, you know, and that could, and it sounds crazy, but I mean, these programs do exist, like the Witness Protection Program, and they change your face and give you a new identity. And I mean, I'm definitely in the camp that believes that John McAfee did it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that could be. I'm not so sure that's why all these people have died in the last 5 years, but yeah, could be. I mean, I've known of people that have been brought into the Witness Protection Program, and I know that their identity was changed, and I also know they had plastic surgery to alter some of their looks. So, yes, that does happen.
I think we need to do this together. We need to do the Witness Protection Program for like 3 weeks or a month.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay, we're going to pretend we're someone else, or? Okay.
Yeah, just we could dip out. We'll do a whole study, a little mini documentary on it. We'll dip out of society, and you can pick whatever name you want, or you can have me pick it for you, and I'll do the same.
I don't trust you. You're never letting you pick my name. No.
Yeah. Yeah, like I want my new name. I want my new name to be like Kip Skyliner.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. It sounds like something that I'd buy at Ulta Fashion for eyeliner.
Oh, well, because I could be like a pilot guy who flies like Black Hawks or, you know, like Airwolves. I'm always wearing a brown jacket. So they're like, oh, that's Kip Skyliner, that new guy. Well, I don't know. We can think of things.
We can, but I tell you, I already played that game once. I mean, back when I was in my 20s, when my girlfriends and I would go out to the bar, and we'd be in the car driving, deciding which bar we're going to, we had to pick an occupation. So, you know, this week you're a stewardess, next week you're a teacher, next week you're a brain surgeon, whatever. We did all that already.
See, women have been so deceitful since the beginning of time, you know? It is so true. I mean, it started with makeup. Then it started with the false eyelashes, the blinks and no blinkers and blinkies and the false occupations and, you know, reject numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did blink, actually. And then got mad about it. Like, seriously, got seriously mad about it. Yeah, it's so inside. You have to be so inside to know. And oddly enough, Aaron knows out of all the people.
Well, yeah, because Aaron just messaged me with just a message that said she blinked and I laughed my butt off. It was great.
Was it you that said, or Lisa said, or somebody, I should make a shirt that says that?
I said it, yes, and I even sent you the prototype.
Okay, send it to me again. I'll think about that. That is so niche.
Yes.
But we have a lot of niche viewers out there.
Well, I think the ladies would like it because it's a highly attractive shirt that I'm thinking in terms of. And then there's that little inside joke about it. So it could be fun.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of inside jokes.
And it could be by Detective Cagney underneath it. And, oh boy, that would
be. Okay. Yeah, send it to me again. You're gonna have to send me that again.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Will do.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's weird is like compared to like other shows and stuff and all the main shows. Like if you literally you could miss like a Stu Peters show, or whatever, just a random Tuesday afternoon.
Why did his name get brought up here?
Hold on, okay.
Wait, call Aaron.
Hold on, let me mark that down. 19 minutes. I'm going to get rid of that. You're right. Okay, let me restart this. Oh, God. See what happens? You hang around Aaron too much. I bet his poor wife, she probably hears about Stu Peters all the time. He probably accidentally calls her that, too.
No, it's probably, good morning, honey. How are you? Shh, shh. I'm watching Stu Peters.
or good morning. Would you want some coffee, honey? What, Stu? I mean, I'm sorry. Honey, yes? Did you call me Stu? Imagine their marriage counseling. And they're going to the doctor.
In the middle of the night, he rolled over and said, Stu.
Stu. Stew. In fact, all he wants me to do is cook stew so he could just say stew.
And I bet he's at the mall today, too.
Stew. Yeah. Trying to look. You know, if when it gets to a point where Aaron starts dressing like Stew Peters, I'm going to check myself into the witness protection program. I don't want to know that.
Absolutely.
Person.
I'll help you. I'll help you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Are you the stylist for the witness protection program of the stars?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you my involvement.
Did you hear that, everybody?
You think I go to Korea to work. I'm really going there to scout out how good their plastic surgery is and see if they could change faces.
Oh, yeah. Plastic surgery scout for the stars. That's right.
Betcha. You bet.
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. God, remember how obnoxious that intro was?
Yes. Totally.
Will he? We're going to visit his four-story house with his millionaire wife and a poodle.
People, welcome to our home. Idea. Oh, God, yeah.
No idea what television used to be like. No idea.
I think a lot of our viewers know, though. A lot of us have been through those eras and have some memories, some good, some not so good, of those eras of TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, commercials used to be fun.
Oh, I loved them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They used to be fun commercials. I mean, I remember this was before, like, you know, TiVo and all that stuff and recording and all that. And when we didn't have cable and the whole family was sitting around the television, we'd all agreed to watch a show or whatever. Maybe it was the Cosby Show or whatever was, you know, on Sunday night. We would all sit through the commercials, all of us together, and we would have a comment about it.
Well, and there were all those cigarette commercials too, you know. You've come a long way, baby. Virginia Slim, that was probably the reason I started smoking Virginia Slims back then. So I just thought it was just so cool.
Well, it's slimming. It, you know, it's like, oh, it was slim.
Yeah, I didn't want a fat cigarette. I just wanted a slim cigarette, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, being on a liquid diet for a year and only losing 4 pounds.
Oh, yeah, I know somebody who did that.
Yeah, me too. I refer you to episode one of Sunday Brunch. But yeah, I remember like everything, like as soon as the 90s came, this is segueing into our time traveling segment here. As soon as the 90s came, things started getting like really, like when the Clintons probably got in office, things started getting more racier in pop culture, you know? And it was, I remember being like that adolescence or whatever, and just being so awkward. Like, oh, like I remember like when the Star Report came out about Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, and that was so awkward. And my grandmother, we were all sitting around the table because it came out in the paper, you know, we get the LA Times. She goes, what does something job mean? Oh, God. Oh, my grandpa didn't know. Oh, and then my mother had to explain. It was so like a terrible moment. You remember those awkward moments when anything sexual would come up? I don't know if it happened back in your time.
I remember just even going to the movies. I think it was to see the Sand Pebbles. It was a big night out. When we went to the movies, we went to downtown Chicago and we were all dressed up. And it was a big hoopla. And there was like, they were on some remote island and they happened to show a woman's breast. And I was sitting next to my father and I thought I was going to drop dead right then and there. I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, we're looking at this giant screen and there's a boob. And I thought, oh my God, I can't believe I'm sitting next to my dad and seeing this. And it was just terrible. For a split second, but geez, talk about uncomfortable. Yes.
Okay. You know, that's very comforting to know. Cause I thought for a long time I was alone in that feeling because It was so weird, especially like when you're around that age of like maybe 11 or 10 and you're getting into, you know, the tweens or whatever. It gets a little weird. And even when the like the newspapers came and then they had like the Sears section and it was like the bra department, you know.
Oh god. Section. Yes. Yes. And oh, I would be like looking through the Sears catalog and then I'd be on that page and then my dad would happen to walk by or my brother and I would be like trying to cover the Sears catalog. Oh my
yeah. God. Yeah. 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 Me too.
There's nothing racy then either. I mean, they were Playtex crush your heart bras, you know, they were horrible.
No. Pornography wasn't at everyone's fingertips back then. It was a very, it was a very tough thing. I mean, you know, that was the days when they actually had movie theaters like to go watch pornography.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Think about that. Think about the concept, you know.
So I don't want to
you
think
want,
about
you really
it.
Want to go. You really want to go into a theater with a bunch of like weirdo men and to watch the same porn movie?
Well, and the stories of the popcorn boxes with no bottoms on them? No, I don't want to go there. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it was just so embarrassing. And just the 90s screwed that whole, you know, innocence up, I think.
Yes, you know, definitely just, innocence. Absolutely. I remember one of my girlfriend's dad, she told me that her father had Playboy magazine in between the mattress and the box spring. And I'll tell you what, I was appalled. I was like, what? Your father has a Playboy magazine? And I was just like, oh my God, that's horrible. I thought her dad was like the worst guy in the whole world for having that.
Me too. Yeah. I would like, because my grandfather was such a strict Catholic, he didn't do any of that stuff. What he did is when we went to go rent movies, he went into the back section just to look around. And they go to confession. After.
Yeah. He was in the confessional for 45 minutes after that.
I know. He wouldn't rent anything. He'd just go in there to look. You know, you see your, you know, little baseball coaches in there. You're the one of the priests, you know, your friend's dad. Nobody wanted to look at each other. We all knew each other, but no one, you know.
That was didn't so see weird. You there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then he actually made a request once. They go, oh, Ben, We have this for you. Oh, good, good, good. I've been looking for that one.
And it was
but he never rented
too,
it. Yeah, he never
Jesus.
Rented it. Never rented. It was just for show. Just, you know, what they call it, window shopping. But
is that when it happened? Was the 90s when everything changed over? Because I have a, you know, it's kind of fuzzy to me. And when everything changed from being, you know, homespun to God knows what.
It was like the 90s because then you had the start of the cynicism of a generation. You had the pop culture, the introduction of the anti-hero. You know, you had the Kurt Cobains, I'm a loser, and go against norms, kill masculinity or toxic, you know. It really was the ground zero for the woke generation, you know, because Gen X's kids and stuff, you know. And I mean, like everything that was cool and hip from the 80s and the 70s, you know, especially the 80s, it killed the 80s. It murdered the 80s, the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and which is crazy because you could look a decade ago to like music, if you choose, you know, last decade. And what we're experiencing now is not murdering that pop culture. Like the 90s totally castrated the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, the 80s disco stuff that was around that kind of murdered some of the good 70s rock and roll. You know, the end of the 70s going into the 80s when they switched over to disco. I know a lot of people like to dance disco and hey, I don't begrudge anybody from wanting to do that. But the music just completely killed what rock was all about in the 60s and 70s.
Well, thank you, CIA, for giving us disco music.
Oh, God.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you Horrible. So much. Casey and the Sunshine Band. And ring my bell.
Oh, no. Oh, God. You know what? This is not funny because now that song is going to be in my head for like 4 days.
Oh, yes.
Oh, now I know what geez, it's bad.
Now I know what my future voicemails are going to be.
I was going to say, in your text messages coming in, you just wait and see, Mr.
Yeah. You want to play dirty. I got some other artillery. some other songs. But So let's start now. And then we can also include the pop culture deep dive analysis. And the name of this segment, is Time Traveling with Dean and Cagney, presented by the Real Deal Media Store, where we have the spring sale going on. All you have to do is go to realdealmedia.tv/store and make sure to use promo code SPRING. Or as I spelt it in the commercial, SPRINGE. Yeah, with the E at the end because I couldn't see it. See what happens?
Oh, Jesus.
But yes. Okay. But yes. A lot of new products in there.
Cool.
A lot of good products. Anyways, so yeah, we're going to do this segment's called Time Travel with Dean and Cagney, presented by the Real Deal Mini Store. And we're going to start, let's see if Detective Cagney can do a cold opening and drive us to a year of her choosing and plan the events as it was that year, that day, that season with me. And there can be no introduction of the following years to that current era and that current setting. So go ahead, Detective Cagney, at this time. Time to play Time Travel.
Okay, you just want me to go first because then it gives you time to think about yours. But that's okay. I'll do it.
Oh, it's fine. Oh. Wow, that's
you
a
you just want to one up me.
Tough. All right. Well, I want to give you a shot because I mean I could go first and then you know I bring the house down and we just close.
Yeah, well, no, then we'll run out of time and I won't even get a chance because you'll talk too long.
Oh, see how that you think you know my strategies.
I do.
I just want to give you an honest chance.
All right. Well, I'm going to rewind that time machine back to 19. Drum roll, please. 74. One of the finest
1974. Okay, we're going back to 1974. And what car are we driving there?
We're driving a 73 orange Opel GT.
Okay. Orange?
Yep.
Now, can you describe the interior? Does it have A-track or 45?
It's a two-seater, and okay. It does have an A-track. Cassettes are just starting to come out, so I have to get an adapter for it. But it's the two-seater, and it's a four-speed. Okay. Black bucket seats. Right. There is no back seat in an Opel GT. It's a two-seater.
Okay. And what color are the seats? Are they black leather?
Black. Yep. Crank windows. No power windows. Crank down windows.
Oh, those ones. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Crank windows.
And there is an ashtray.
Oh, good. Good.
Under the radio, there's an ashtray. No. You have to Perfect. Have that ashtray.
And I want to ask that, is the car, is it, what's it called? AM radio only, or?
Yeah, only AM. I only had AM at that point. Yep.
Okay.
But I do have hanging from the rear view mirror, I've got some hippie beads hanging there. And attached to that, I have a roach clip. Okay, that's hanging up there with a feather on it. Yep. With a feather.
Good. And if the kids are listening, that's because cockroaches like to smoke Virginia Slims as well.
Correct.
But assuming you were smoking Virginia Slims at that time. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was smoking Newports at that time, but yeah.
Oh,
that was after.
Okay.
And there was Eve cigarettes also at that time with the flowers on them. I liked that because it looked well with my hippie attire to have flower cigarettes, and the paper was colorful.
And at this time, you said you had a cassette adapter. What was your soundtrack during this time? Or, you know, what is our soundtrack going to be on this time travel now?
Soundtrack would be anything of the Doors at that point.
Okay. Okay.
And actually, I did like to get the greatest hits. You know, I belonged to that stupid cassette club. What was that? You had to pay X amount per month and you could never get out of it. What was the name of that, Dean?
Oh, Columbia.
Oh, that's a Columbia House. Columbia House. You join and you get 10 free cassettes, and then for only $1.99 every month, you get X more. But you can never, ever, ever get out of it. Okay, now you can shut that music off now, Dean. That's
okay,
terrible.
Okay. Okay, so now we have time travel. All right. We time traveled. So here we are. We're in the car. Okay. So what are we doing? Where are you driving us? And what? It's April at this time. Let's actually. It's May. It's probably May season of 1974. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I've just gotten out of high school, so school's out. Okay. School's out forever. Alice Cooper blasting.
Okay.
And
who's your posse? Who's your posse?
Well, I'm taking you at that time. I'm taking you to the woods because.
Oh, wait
70s,
a minute.
That's what we did. We went to the woods.
Okay.
And we hung out at the woods. Everybody parked there and sat on picnic benches, and you didn't wear shoes. So you were in the woods and bare feet and ripped blue jeans, especially on the bottom. I mean, the jeans had to be a couple inches longer than what your actual length was so that they would fold up and curl and drag on the street.
Bell bottoms.
Oh, you bet. Low rise, hip huggers, landlubber blue jeans.
Or elephant ears.
Not elephant ears, elephant bells. But actually, I used to like mine very tight. I would get my mom's Singer sewing machine out. And I would take in the thigh area to make them skin tight from the hip to the knee. And then I would have these gigantic bells on the bottom. And of course, you had to have
How much were those at the retail store? How much were those going for?
They were, at that time, the pants ranch or just jeans. I want to say they were about $12. But I used to like to go to Old Town. And they had a store there that was called Secondhand Rose. And my mother always hated when I went there because she couldn't understand why I would want to wear other people's pants. But they already had their jeans broken in. You could get them really, you know, for real, not this pretend stonewashed crap that they have today. The real used jeans.
Right. Okay, so now, so we're going to the woods, which at first glance, you might think that Detective Gagné is...
pervert.
Hog tying me, gag and bound, and we're going to the woods is not very appetizing or just, you know what I'm saying, to begin with, but I'm open-minded. So you are the tour guide here. So continue, please.
Okay. So we pull into the woods and you have to back your car into the parking space because you have to lift up the hatch so that you can have your speakers blasting whatever music you have on the radio. And then you go find yourself your picnic table or sit in the grass and everybody's cracking open a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer or hams or an old style. And you're sitting and you're drinking and you're just laughing. And some people are smoking things at that time that were illegal. And other people are just smoking their Virginia Slims and Newports. But you're just having fun and you're meeting people. I met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people during the time that I spent hanging out in the woods, because that's where we all went. And that was our social time.
Now, I have to ask you, which set of friends are with us? I'm assuming your school friends are with us. Do they, at this time?
Yes.
Your clique?
Yes. I went to an all-girl Catholic high school So I had my best girlfriends would meet us there, and that's where we'd meet guys and pick up guys. Oh. And if we were lucky, there was a carnival that would be in town that weekend. You know, May and June was a carnival time. So if there was, then we would leave the woods and go to the carnival. And, you know, again, my mom really hated that because she always felt that the guys that worked the carnival rides there were of the bad type, the bad boys. And she's probably correct. She was probably correct at that time. However, if we flirted with them, we got free rides, you know, so we could go on the Ferris wheel like, you know, 30 times for free because the guy thought we were cute.
Now, because I'm not very privy of the 1974 per se, what would be classified or considered, you know, in all intents and purposes to be a, quote, bad guy? What makes a bad guy, I guess?
Well, how would my mother describe that? Bad guy. Somebody whose hair was way too long, probably the same length mine was, you know, below my shoulders. Scruffy, ripped jeans, not a solid job.
Okay.
This was before I hit the academy, so I changed my life when I hit the academy. But that summer, I was free willy here and spent a lot of time with a lot of the carnival guys, I guess.
Oh my God, you are a carnival aficionado. Now, before we go on, just so people know, we're talking, this is like May 1st. 1974, and just to refresh your memories out there who remember that year vividly, well, that year in 1974, that's Tauruses and everybody there. Here are the most popular names of babies that year, so you can see where you stem from. The most popular name for boys was Michael. For girls, it was Amy. Jason, Michelle, Christopher, Heather became very popular in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. David, Angela, James, Kimberly, John, Melissa, Robert, and Lisa. And you don't see a lot of those names as popular. You know, another name, just honorable mention, that we don't hear, nobody is naming their kid Susan anymore.
No, or Mary Pat.
Yeah, you know,
those are names that are long, long gone. Mm-hmm. I did have a girlfriend whose name was Jeannie, mm-hmm. and there were quite a few Karens before Karen became a bad word as it is used today. But you know, Karen was a very popular name, and Renee was a name. I wanted to be a Renee. I like that name.
Yeah, yeah, and Gaylord wasn't. You know, it's not popular anymore.
And, Gaylord was a gang in my neighborhood.
Oh, Gaylord was that an actual biker who was a family friend who was like not gay or a lord, but that's not a popular name anymore. Or Susan's gone. Hannah, you know,
Mary,
Beverly, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, those were popular names. Those were popular names that year. Also in history. Just so you know what was going on at that time, in 1974, you had, this is a terrible website, but the birthstone was emerald.
It Zodiac still
is. Was Taurus.
Yep.
The birth flower of that year, of that day, was Lily.
Yep, of the valley. Lily of the valley, not to be confused with like Easter Lily. Lily of the valley, yeah.
And the Gen Xers were being born around that time. That's when things started. So, you know, that's kind of what happened on May 1st, 1974. And I'll throw some other fun facts as we go. But continue. So we're at the carnival. You're hanging out with some bad hombres.
Getting free tickets, for the Tilt-A-Whirl. That was always a fun thing. And eating cotton candy and popcorn and playing games and winning prizes there too. If you were cute enough, the guy who ran the carnival game would always make sure that you won and then you could get big prizes. Or we'd meet guys there and then the guys would try to show how manly they were and they'd try to win us prizes. And that was kind of cool too.
Okay, well, because I'm your guest and it's 1974, I don't know if I want any guys winning me prizes on this excursion. But well, if that's
better,
where you want to
go. You better win then. You better throw those basketball through the hoops and get me one of those big teddy bears over there.
Okay. So just so people understand, the entire reason Lynn Cagney invited me on this time travel trip is so she can use me to win prizes. You see, everyone?
Yeah.
I'm being put to work. See how that is?
And then we will make a visit. We're going to stop. I want to buy you a gift. So we're going to stop at one of the crafters there because they had leather wristbands that were with a snap and you could have somebody's name engraved like on leather. So I would absolutely expect that you would want to have Lynn Cagney on your wristband. Okay. And I would have one made for you, put it on your wrist. And then, you know, yeah, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And who are your girlfriend's names at this time? And do you think, would they be into me at all if we were all hanging out with them?
Tina would for sure be into you. Even to this day, she would be.
Oh.
You're her type.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll get to types in a little bit. We'll get back to types. But yes, continue.
We'd be with probably Tina and Laura and maybe Andrea.
Okay. Was your circle, the people were hanging out, are they very politically charged? Because this is a big year now because the Richard Nixon Watergate scandal. Rumor he might resign here in a few months.
I'm going to say the answer to that question is no. I don't even think anybody knew. The last time that I knew of a good president was when Kennedy was in. And that's the last time I really cared about a president until many, many, many years later. So I would say no, other than the Vietnam War, you know, during the late 60s and early 70s when we were charged up about the Vietnam War.
Okay. Got that, writing that down. And you weren't in college yet, so there wasn't a lot of social conscious.
Correct, you know. Not yet.
Got that, okay. Okay, so I have a wooden bracelet on me with your name on it.
Leather bracelet.
Leather, not wooden. Did I say wooden?
Leather. Yeah, put a tree.
Yeah.
A tree around your arm.
Exactly. I got a tree bark. Okay, so we got that.
But I've got my mood ring on, and my mood ring is it's showing that I'm liking you, Dean. I'm liking you. The color's changing here.
Good. Now, should I be wearing like an emerald color to fit in with your crowd at that time? How should I be dressing when I time travel with you to May 1st, 1974?
Well, I'm hoping you're wearing like a wife beater t-shirt. You know, those
wife beater t-shirt.
You know, Dago tees.
Like Fonzie?
You know, no, that had sleeves. It has to have no sleeves. And it just has to be tight.
Oh, okay.
And then you've got on your jeans with a really wide belt, probably with a peace sign for your belt buckle.
Now, could I get away wearing a jumpsuit with rhinestones on them?
Absolutely not. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay. Well, see, got to know your audience. And very interesting.
No. I'm a hippie, so no.
Mm-mm. Okay, yeah. What would be the so there's the hippies. What would be your rival group there? Just so I know who to avoid.
Well, I would just say the dorks. I mean, the hippies were the cool ones. Everybody else was a dork.
The hippies. So the hippies did exist in the 70s. I thought they didn't die in the 1960s.
Oh no, absolutely not. They stayed at least until 77, I would say.
Oh really? Okay. And at this time, too, are we listening to Led Zeppelin at all? Are we getting into disco? Am I allowed to?
No, we're still listening to the regular rock and roll, okay. The good old rock and roll, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Doors and things like that. That's the, that's it. We're not going to any like disco kind of place. We're going to go to a corner tavern and we're going to sit down at the bar and we're going to just have beer on tap.
Okay. Is that now the beers back then too, you had to peel off the cover, like a sticker of where you drink it from, correct?
Correct.
All right. Yep. Okay. Well, this is so exciting. And I'm hanging out with Detective Cagney, her friend Tina in 1974. Now, is there any specific guys of interest around us in our little group there?
Yeah, the love of my life is there. He's there. And
okay. Well, then that narrows it down.
Yeah, well, I'm not going any further with that one. And there's some motorcycle guys. Simply refuse. There's motorcycle guys there. I like to go to motorcycle biker bars. That was a place where I would go. So there's a lot of choppers out in front of the bar.
A lot of choppers.
Yep.
There's a lot of choppers. Now, would you be a little embarrassed if I showed up there with you in a moped?
Oh my God. All right, that leads me to a story. In May of that year, Tina actually had moved out of her house senior year. Her parents threw her out of the house, so she had to get an apartment. And so she was living in this apartment and going to high school at the same time, which would be unheard of today, but it was normal back then. But anyways, I met this guy at the biker bar, and he was cool. He was dressed all the way I told you we were supposed to dress, and we decided we were going to have a date. Okay, we're going to go to my friend Tina's house for this date. So he meets me on the corner where we said we'd meet. We're going to walk to my girlfriend's house. But he's dressed up in like a leisure suit or something. I don't know. Just horrible. You know, polyester pants or something instead of jeans and whatever. And I'm highly embarrassed. Oh, my God. How am I going to bring this guy to Tina's house? She's going to think, oh, my God, what did you do? So I walk to her house and I open the front door and I literally slam the door in this guy's face as I'm coming through the screen door. He has to open it up behind him. I walk in her house, walk straight into her bedroom, straight into her closet. And I sit down and she says, what are you doing in my closet? I said, I'm not going out there. She said, why not? I said, because the guy's a dork. There's no way. I said, I got to get out of here. And she said, but you just brought him to our house. And I said, yeah, well, I'm going out your back door and you're stuck with him. I walked out the back door and I left this guy at her house. And he didn't know where I lived. I never saw him again. I walked out the back door and she was stuck with him for the night. Oh my God. Okay. It was terrible.
No dorks. No dorks allowed. All right. No pocket protectors and what have you. And just so you know, this day here in May 1st, 1974, is Detective Cagney and I are making the rounds from the woods to the carnivals to the biker bars, that the Carpenters are doing a historic few numbers for they're playing live at this time for U.S. President Richard Nixon and the West German Chancellor at the White House. That's a big deal.
Carpenters were great. It was great. Such a sad story, but yeah, really great. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. I don't know what happens to him. Maybe something happens to her. Are you saying she dies or something?
Yeah, you know that. Karen Carpenter died.
But it's 1974. How do you know?
Well, no, I don't know it then, but right.
Exactly. Okay. See?
Okay. See? Oh, geez, I'm screwing up the game.
Oh, I know.
I got ahead of myself.
This is the time travel litmus test of who I'm going to have as my passengers. But anyways, okay, so we're doing all these things. We're with Tina. Now, do you have to be home at a certain time tonight? Do you have to be home by the
11. 11.
11.
Yeah.
But don't you have to be home for dinner?
Not necessarily. I mean, I could go home for dinner, or if I said I was out, then I didn't have to come home for dinner, but I had to be home by 11.
So would you be embarrassed to bring me back for dinner in 1974 because I'm too emerald or my rhinestone jumpsuit?
No, I wouldn't be embarrassed, but you might not be happy because my dad won't be pleased with you. You're too much of a rebel. So he's going to question you. Your hair's too long. He's going to refer to you as Miss a few times, and it's going to be embarrassing. Yeah.
It sounds like, based on past experience, that you've seen that.
Absolutely.
Okay. And how much was gas? Do I need gas money?
Oh, gas was cheap. I want to say that it was, well, it was under $2 a gallon. Maybe it was like $1.60 a gallon. And that meant full serve. You know, ding, ding, you pull in and the guy comes running out. You pop the hood and, you know. But there, that was the end of my Opel GT because of that. I thought when you went to the gas station and you pulled in for full service, they checked everything. I didn't know you had to put oil in a car. I thought when you went to the gas station, everything happened miraculously. So, unfortunately, I blew the engine on that Opel GT because I didn't know you had to put oil in a car.
Right. Oh, see what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. And at this time, too, if we do go back to your house, I don't know if they have the TV by the dinner table.
Oh, hell no.
Okay, no. Some people did that. And I'm assuming you watched it after?
Yes, and that was in the other room. That was the family room. No, we never.
Yeah,
never,
yeah. No, see, there's a living room, then there's a family room.
Correct. Well, we called it, in the Midwest, it was called a front room, not a living room. Okay. Front room.
Did you guys have a bonus room too, or no?
No, we weren't allowed to go in the front room, though.
Oh, that's where the fine china was.
Yeah. Well, and that's where the plastic was on the couches. She didn't want to go there anyway.
Yeah, we had one of those too with the turquoise flowers on it and the velvet.
Yep.
Oh, so bad. Okay, so, but if we watch television after, the top five shows, the top five TV shows back then were as follows. Starting at number five, it was MASH. Number four, The Jeffersons. Number three, Chico and the Man. Number two, Sanford and Son. And sure, you can guess what number one is. Coming at number one is All in the Family.
Of course, and I still to this day watch reruns of All in the Family on YouTube.
And we're talking like millions of people around the country all watching at the same time. There was a lot of unity in the sense. And here's the top 10 cool food and beverage trends of the year that your mom might be making for us as you bring me back to the house. So there's something called Watergate salad, which is a sweet salad consisting of canned pineapple, whipped cream, marshmallows, and the company's pistachio pudding. Is that when that started? Okay. Then there is a Tab Diet Cola. I don't know about that. We've expressed our opinions on that. Swanson TV dinners, if you guys had TV trays. Quiche, Mug o' Lunch, Jell-O salads, Hamburger Helper, fajitas, deviled eggs, and cheese balls and logs.
My mom used to make cheese balls all the time. Oh, my God.
Isn't that
and instead of the pistachio thing, it was Hawaiian salad, like an ambrosia salad. We had that frequently. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and just so you know, like, get this to, like, if back then a jar of peanut butter was 55 cents for a 12 ounce jar. Onions were 49 cents for 3 pounds. A whole milk was $1.39 for an entire gallon, and on and on and on. So it was very, very affordable back then. And
I don't know if it was very affordable. I mean, the salary ranges were horrible then, too. I mean, at that time, my dad was vice president of a company, a large company, and he was making a whopping $30,000 a year. And we had a Cadillac. So, you know, I mean, I guess that was big money. You're making 30 grand a year, you know, but.
Okay. That's what happened. So what happened is we had rocketing gas prices. OPEC's oil embargo against the U.S. was a thing. Heavy government spending on the Vietnam War. You know, war is very costly. You had the Wall Street stock crash in 73, 74. We basically went back to a major recession. One of the major consequences of stagflation was now in full effect. Unemployment was 5%, 5.1%, and rising, and jobless rates had increased to 7.2%, and inflation was at whopping 11.04%. So yeah, it wasn't the greatest time, you're right. And another thing too is there was a lot of veterans coming back from the war, you know, from the Vietnam War, that couldn't get jobs, right? Mm-hmm. They're pretty screwed up.
Yep.
Heroin addictions, yep. All kinds of stuff.
No one took care of them. Yeah, I no still have problems about that. It was really bad. And we still, a lot of us still have our POW bracelets from that time too. I mean, they were metal bracelets with somebody's name on it. And you were supposed to wear it until that guy came back. And, you know, many of them never came back. So, you know, some of us still have those bracelets with a guy's name on it.
Yep, that's true. And they couldn't, it was hard. Nobody wanted to hire them too. I remember my grandfather, who was almost middle-aged at that time in Vietnam, he could not find work. He could not find work. Mm-hmm. Very difficult. And thank God he found the U.S. Post Office, which was his career.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for that, you know, very grateful.
Yeah, I was waitressing at that time. You know, I started out waitressing in the neighborhood. So I was a waitress. Oh. Mm-hmm.
What were your hours?
Well, when I was in school, I would only work on the weekends. And then when school was out, I would work the lunch shift. So I would be there from, you know, prepping the diner from, say 10 o'clock or so. Lunch crowd starts rolling in, the businessmen at like 11, and you get out of there around 3 in the afternoon before the dinner started.
How great would it be if we go back to that diner and you apply for that same job again, and just so we can...
Believe it or not, I still go back. There is another restaurant that took its place. And when I look at the tile floor when I go there, even to today, it's the same tile floor that was there when I was there. It brings back a lot of memories. Yeah.
Yes. And they had that's when they had like those rock structures on the walls on the outside of the house, the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
Like little conclaves and stuff. Okay, so this is really exciting. Okay, so we're hanging out with all the friends now. Now we're going out late, just to round it all out. It's getting later in the evening. Are we getting crazy? Are we gonna go watch maybe a movie? Cruising?
No,
on bicycles or cars?
No, in my car. We're gonna roll the windows down, blast the radio, and drive up and down the busy streets, because that's the fun thing to do.
Okay, and smoke oregano, I assume. Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, that's my favorite spice there, right there. Well, this is funny. Now, so we're going cruising, and we have to be home at 11. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, can we try to stay out a little later, maybe till like 1, and maybe tiptoe back in?
Are you kidding? Waiting? No, my dad is sitting in the dark waiting for me. No, absolutely not.
Oh, my God.
No, can't be late. If I'm late, that's it. I'm grounded for a month. So, no, it's not worth it.
How terrifying is it to walk back in the house?
When he's and right all you see is the red of his cigarette as he's taking a draw off the cigarette, and you see the red, and he's like, do you know what time it is?
Oh, my God.
Yes, Dad, it's 11:03. Well, that means you're 3 minutes late. Oh, no.
My God. Doesn't that still give you a little bit of fear today, just thinking about it?
It does, absolutely. Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay, so all right, you're back in time. All right, so that was a pleasant full day with Detective Cagney on at May 1st, 1974. I was fed Sloppy Joe's or Hamburger Helper, one of the two.
Ambrosia salad, Jell-O mold.
Ambrosia salad. Your mom made incredible cheese balls and logs. Tell her thank you. So to just kind of wrap it up here, and I am currently having my Sunday brunch, and Sunday brunch, it really is a tradition in my family, and it's so good to be able to share a little bit of that tradition with Detective Cagney tonight, or today, excuse me. See, I'm always used to saying tonight. We do the late night show. But it's so good to share a little bit about yesteryear nostalgia and just my love for Sundays and Sunday brunch with our viewers and our listeners here. So to wrap it all up here, and we'll start with Detective Cagney, is are we ever going to see, and just in your opinion, going forward, are we ever going to have those, a new golden era, a new innocence, a new birth, a moral booster again in this lifetime?
No, not in the same respect, I don't think. People grow up a lot faster now, I think. Are expected to do more at a younger age. I remember my dad always saying, when you're such and such an age, be that age. When you're 13, be 13. When you're 19, be 19. Well, now everybody who's 17 has to actually be 27. I think that those days of innocence are gone. We can't take back all of the bad things that have happened over the course of these years. So people's lives are forever changed. I'm afraid that's gone. But many of our listeners, I believe, have the same fond memories of those years as I do. And God, I wish I could go back.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. There is definitely a smile on my face. Even when I think about the 90s too, or the 80s, and you know, I hear about the 70s, definitely that amazing nostalgia that people born today or within the past decade will never understand or know. It was a slower time that you would actually have the patience to watch or listen to something or read.
Read the newspaper. Yeah. Read a newspaper, not something online. And that's part of the problem too. The technology has come so far that now when I go out to dinner and I see people sitting at a dinner table, whether it's parents and children or it's people on a date, what are they doing? They're looking at their phone. You know, those days of having an actual conversation, those are gone.
We see with the millennials, and no, those days are gone, and it's rude, and they don't, and it goes to something I was saying the other night in my closing yesteryear thought is, you know, people are a lot of things. They are crafty. They're very technologically enhanced, gifted. They're smart. You know, they're very intelligent. A lot of people pride themselves in being, you know, intelligent, smart, educated. They have the degrees, popular, cynical, also very weary too, street smart. But a lot of people are not, the people that have all those things, they lack that self-awareness. And when you lack that self-awareness,
kindness, manners, gone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to be able to approach cops when I was young and like, hey, officer. Well, here's what I'm saying is because the culture we're talking about now has stemmed into all fabrics of society, whether it's a cop, a train conductor, a flight stewardess, don't get me started. But, you know, you used to go to a cop back in the day. You say, hey, officer, you know, they have a conversation with you. And now it's, they got an added, you know, there's no difference between them and a bouncer, you know?
True. That's true.
And these new guys.
I agree. I see it. It's not like when I was there. No, I agree.
It's different. And the flight attendants, like I said, a lot of the service sectors that are still around, there's that, the politeness is gone. People don't take pride in a lot of their jobs, because as the rise of the corporatocracy, the corporations, it really got rid of the identity of taking pride in your job, because you're in a cubicle, or you're just another stat.
This is true.
Even
with stewardesses, though, I mean, one more thought I have there is that, you know, when we used to fly when I was younger, you would be dressed up and everybody was courteous to the other passengers. Excuse me, you know, you're going to get into the seat, and everybody, you know, everybody was just polished. And the stewardesses respected people. But I think now, you know, I see people because I, you know me, I'm always traveling, and people are in, they take their shoes off, they're in bare feet, they're putting their feet on the seats. And what happened? What happened to society that people have turned this way? And no wonder the stewardesses in many, many cases,
yeah.
I'm not saying all, because some of them are just bitches, but no wonder that they have to have a different attitude because the people are different mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, it's like it's a catch 22. Just like some of these, a lot of the cops, you know, they have to be real tough, you know, roughnecks because of the people they're dealing with in some of these, mm-hmm. you know, cities. But there's no winners, you know, because then they take that home with them and install it in their children and on and on. It's just, you know, it's just a sucking sound of a endless hole into the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's sad to see. But I think there's going to be a new enlightenment. I really do, because a lot of the people that took the miracle jabs, unfortunately, are the type of people we have described. Some people, you know, circumstances, what have you. But I think there's going to be a empty, lost generation that's going to be wiped off the face of the earth, because mm-hmm. even the ones that have survived it or whatever that will survive, they can't have kids because of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
So
true.
I think it's people like us that are going to be the storytellers, the traditionalists, who are going to replenish the world with ideas, history, and a sense of integrity. And that's what's exciting about it. So on that note, we're going to conclude our Sunday brunch podcast here with Detective Cagney. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask a detective before she goes back to 1973 and then 72 and on. Are we going to see Detective Cagney anytime this summer on the RDM meet and greet tour? Is that a possibility? There's rumors out there.
Well, I'm sure. Sure. Sure, I'm hoping for it. I'm waiting for you to get the scheduled city dates, and I will see which ones I can attend. I'd love to meet some of the fans. You know, would love it.
Well, you heard, folks, you heard it here. The Tropicana Hotel, Las Vegas. You will find Detective Cagney.
Oh, stop. Himself. Okay, no, we're not. Nope.
At the folks, nickel dime. Nope. The nickel slot machine on the corner by the barista. Okay. On that note, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in to this wonderful Sunday brunch podcast. We will be back soon with another late night update soon, and a lot of other fireworks to come. For Detective Cagney, I'm Dean Ryan. Always remembering and telling you at the same time to stay tuned, stay awake, and continue to stay brunching. Is that a term? Oh, who cares?
That's a good enough term.
Okay. All right. So long, everybody.